What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
The segment brought to you by the Piazza Auto Group, the Acura Summer of Performance event, is happening now at Piazza Acura of Ardmore, Reading, and Westchester. Get financing as low as 2.9% for 48 months on the all-electric ZDX. Shop online, piazzaacura.com. We'll get to our morning mystery movie clip in about 15 minutes. Cut Sheet Part Due. Pete Scirocco gonna drop off some crab fries. It's National Woo! Crab Fry Day, baby. I want the big bucket too. I want them hot. I want them greasy. I want that cheese ready to go. Yum. And I'm gonna stuff my face live on YouTube. So if you want to watch that, you can do so. YouTube.com/
Sloppy Chris Christie.
Yes. I might tip three. I might be like that pig that fell out of the truck yesterday on the show by the time 10 o'clock hits.
So good.
Wait,
so
Joy Behar fell out of it? Oh, the other one. Yeah. I know. Got it.
It is. We'll also find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show and what happened today in music history. A couple of quick notes, more details on the RNC and the convention dropping yesterday, as they'll get it going on Monday. As it looks like now, a change of plans, as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is now poised to speak at the GOP convention. He'll be on the main stage on Monday. And also, Donald Trump will be introduced by UFC CEO Dana White next week.
Awesome.
As the fight promoter has agreed to stump for his longtime friend for a third time. And I think one of the things that people really love about Dana White is he loves free speech. I mean, he lets his fighters say whatever they want, be pro-Trump, be against dudes being in women's locker rooms. A lot of those UFC cage fighters are nut jobs to begin with because they get punched in the face for a living. And you know what? They just go up there and spew whatever they want. And that's the beauty of the First Amendment. He's not going to try to neuter his guys. And that's something I wish we saw more of in all these other professional leagues, because I think that's a big reason why people tuned out basketball, all these left-wing politics. Yeah. And you know that there's conservatives and Republicans and Trump supporters that play in the NBA, but they can't come out and say it fear of blowback.
My teenage sons love, just to your point, Nick. I mean, that they love the UFC. They love all of this because, and they're not even really, they're teenagers, right? They're not like really super political.
Yeah.
But I think as a man or a young male, you watch, you know, even commercials, television shows, sitcoms, stuff on, streaming online. You watch a game and it's like, oh, they're making fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
And right. And you don't feel the inclusivity that they claim.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a part of it.
Yep.
You had mentioned the other day that South Philadelphia's own Amber Rose, who's, she is somebody who back in the day had negative comments about Trump. Wasn't that political? The fact that somebody like Amber Rose, who's African-American from Philadelphia, and she's speaking at the convention, I think that says volumes.
Yeah, it really does.
You know?
It does. And I think, to your point, and with these polls I'm about to give you, younger people are just far more open and not concerned about coming out and saying they lean right, they skew conservative, they're going to vote for Donald Trump. This is courtesy of Newsweek, MSN, and the Washington Post. They say the following: just 4 months until the presidential election, where Trump will try to knock off Joe Biden, NPORS found that amongst all respondents, 47% said they were Republican or leaned Republican, while 46% say they were Democrats or leaned towards the Democrat Party. The poll, conducted between February 1st to June 10th amongst 5,626 U.S. adults, and by subgroup, here's what really pops out. They found that the GOP is ahead on leaning party identification amongst 18 to 29-year-olds, even though the sample size in 2020 showed Biden with a 20-point advantage. It is now shifted. Trump leads Biden by 3 points. That's a 23-point swing heading into the 2024 election, where Gen Z was comfortably in the pocket of Joe Biden and the Democrats. Fast forward 3.5 years later, and it's a small advantage for Donald Trump. And I'm sure there's many reasons for that. But Sean Farris, the first one that jumps out to me is if you're in that 18 to 29 year old demo, that's typically where, as an adult, you have the least money you'll have in your lifetime, the least spending power, the least capital, the least ability to buy a home. You're out of college. You're in debt. Maybe you're still living at home from 18 to 25 with mommy and daddy, and they're charging you a little bit of rent. And they're probably sitting back and saying, I can't afford to do a stinking thing right now in this economy. And that's probably, I would assume, just a guess on my part, the biggest reason why they want to vote Republican, because they want to have more disposable income.
I think that is the number one reason. I think it is. And, you know, speaking from experience, when I was in college and I was in one of my radio classes, and it was 2012, and we had to produce a feature for the debate at Hofstra University, Obama and Romney. And I chose to do my topic on the fiscal cliff. And my, you know, rated professor wasn't very happy about it. It was, you know, obviously highlighting the fact that Obama was going to raise taxes during a recession, which, you know, the liberal professor, the centrist professor, and the conservative professor that I used in the piece all agreed, you know, probably not the best idea. You don't want to raise taxes in a recession. You want to stimulate the economy. You want more disposable income in the hands of Americans so they can go ahead and support these businesses, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of people in the class didn't kind of understand how it would impact them. And it was very simple. You know, you look at your paycheck, you look at your pay stubs, you see all the deductions and like, oh yeah, we hate those. We want more money. Okay. Well, if Obama wins, you're going to have, you know, less money. And if Romney were to win, you would have more money. The Bush tax cuts weren't going to expire, et cetera, et cetera. Bottom line is people are thinking about their back pocket. They're thinking about their wallet. They're thinking about their bank accounts. And if you're an 18 to 29 year old now, you see the median home price over $500,000. That's an amount of money you could probably, you probably can't really wrap your head around. Okay. You have taxes going through the roof. You have inflation running crazy. The cost of everything is up, not a little. It's up markedly over what it was 5 years ago. And, you know, maybe for somebody who is 18 now, who was 13 then, they don't feel it. But somebody who's 29 now, who is 24 back during Trump, they feel it. And I even think, you know, the 22 year old who was 17 5 years ago, you know, during the Trump economy when things were cheaper, they're understanding it. I think these young adults, these young Americans are understanding, and they get it. They want more money. They want more buying power. They want the ability to own a home. They want the ability to buy a new car. You know, they want to be able to just go out and do something in their social groups with their friends. You can't, you know, you don't have the money to even do that these days. So I think they're starting to realize that. I also think a lot of these 18 to 29 year olds are seeing the cultural decay as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the 99 genders and the blue hairs and the, you know, people urinating on each other in the streets of San Francisco in the name of pride. And they're like, you know, we're okay with tolerance, but we don't need this. This is too much. You've overplayed your hand. And
yeah, it's madness.
I think they're looking at it saying, all right, you know, I don't agree with everything Donald Trump says. And maybe, you know, so and so happened with E. Jean Carroll and whatever, what you believe, but things were better for me. So I'm voting for Trump. And mm-hmm. I think that's what they're doing.
Can I just say one thing? Because think about the kids who are first time voters. Let's say you're just turning 18. Mm-hmm. If you're 17 right now, you were in, like my son, David, you were in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
If you were in a city like Philadelphia, you were banned from your classroom.
Yep.
And so think about those teenagers, you know, what they've been through. And I'll weave it back into Philadelphia, one of the strictest mandates in the nation with regard to COVID, and what all young people went through, but especially the African-American community.
Mm-hmm.
And so think about across America, African-American communities in cities like Philadelphia, Chicago. I mean, you talked about the Bronx rally. Think about how all these people are now learning all the information, what we now know about those shutdowns and how we all got played. And the direct impact. I know for my son, he was a star athlete. He was so upset that he couldn't go to the gym. He couldn't go to football. It was straight A student. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. This set kids, it impacted and interrupted
robbed them of the best time of their lives.
It did.
Yeah.
but it changed their path.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a good way. This was an interruption that did not have to happen, and Joe Biden is responsible for that.
It's remarkable too when you think about all the shifting dynamics with demographics based on party affiliation and who's going to vote for who this time around. Trump has gained with the black community. He's gained with the Latino community. He's gaining in the 18 to 29 Gen Z demo that we're talking about. Yes, of course, you know, suburban females are still an issue, especially post Roe v. Wade. But if you're the Biden administration right now, the only demo I think that you kind of feel relatively good about, and I can speak to this firsthand, is with living in Montgomery County. And Dawn, you know my area very well. I live in Bluebell in Montgomery County, and throughout my neighborhoods, and probably in a 3 to 4 square mile radius, it's a lot of older, wealthy, liberal people.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that demographic, that 54 to 65 year old demo, jump from Biden to Trump. They seem pretty well steadfast in the fact that they're going to ride with Joe or whoever Joe's replacement is. And I think that's because, and if you've ever been to Bluebell, I mean, there's a lot of homes there that start at $750,000. Oh, yeah. You know, my sister, who makes a lot of money, she was looking, she does a lot of real estate flipping, and she's like, I mean, I don't know how you're living in Bluebell, Nick. How are you doing it? And mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's because I'm not thriving like a king, trust me. But I mean, the amount of people that have $1 million homes in Bluebell, the reason they're not going to flip, they're not being affected right now. They're the 1%. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the people that are probably making $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year. So when gas is now $3.72 a gallon, it doesn't really impact them. Sure, there's probably a few that are griping. My sister gripes about it, but my sister is not really being impacted. She's having her whole patio and pool redone. It's probably going to cost them $25,000. So she gripes about it as a
patio
Trump
and pool is more than $25,000.
Well, you know me, my estimates are always on the wrong side. I think teachers still make $40,000 a year.
No, they're making six figures, especially in Montgomery County.
Right.
No, I mean, you got to get to Chester or Bucks, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Because look at the taxes, how much they've gone up in Monco. And that's just it. Once they went blue, look at the property taxes. Look at all these taxes in Montgomery County. They're going through the second one in, 10 months, major tax hikes because the Democrats now rule it. Chester County, where I was last night, is in play. And I think you have a lot of common sense people, and I have a lot of hope for Chester County because I have a lot of family there.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks County is also, as we've covered a lot, I mean, that's a battleground county.
Yeah. I mean, I do like some of the spots in Bucks. We've thought
great
about
schools.
It. Especially when you go up 202 from Bluebell and then you enter into Bucks County going up DeKalb Pike. But I mean, I'm looking at Montgomery County, and the only places I could truly probably afford to buy a home, honest to God, would be Plymouth Meeting or East or West Norridan Township. I mean, Bluebell's basically out of the equation. Lower Gwinnett, Upper Gwinnett, Montgomery Township, just can't afford it. It's unbelievable.
And the reason they're affordable in East Norridan is because
Norristown School District?
The kids in private school, ton of them, because we live in the city of Philadelphia, a small Catholic little school.
Mm-hmm.
We had a ton of kids from East Norton, Montgomery County, because they're not going to send their kids to those schools.
Yep.
So,
yes, indeed. Sean Ferris is probably like, what the hell is East Norton Township? Sorry, Sean. We went on a real in the weeds conversation.
No, you know what? Listen, I'm just listening to all these things. I'm listening to all this stuff about schools. And I'm like, the only changes that need to be made in schools there is again, we come back to the hoagie thing. It's just the most ridiculous word in the English language. So,
listen, I'll do my tease right now because you're talking about education. I want you to listen to my interview right at 10 a.m.
Okay.
With his name is Neil Young, great name, an educator who actually was one of those teachers in Malvern who's running now for office. And you're going to love this guy. He's a great teacher, but he's one of those who was impersonated by the kids, by the 7th and 8th graders in Malvern in the school and at the heart of that. But he is talking about a transformation in education, how critical that is. And just a great guy. So I want you to listen to him and think about when he talks about what's going on in the suburbs and in the schools, because he's an insider. He's an educator running as a Republican. and talking about the teachers union and insight into what is happening. When you talk about indoctrination and parental rights, this is a real insider. And he says, we need a teacher in Congress.
I can still eat my crab fries, though, right?
Well, I hope Neil Young will remember a Southern man don't need him around anymore.
Well said. I can smell it. I can smell the Old Bay, folks. I think Jim just got off the elevator. Crab fries coming up. Not that you care, but it means something to me, damn it. Back after this on Kale and Company. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Best Patrick Swayze movie of all time, Dawn Stenslin? Any idea? Are you a Ghost fan with back in the day when Whoopi Goldberg, before she ended up on The View?
Oh my gosh.
What a movie that was. Knock it off, Sam. Sorry, the bad Whoopi Goldberg.
Roadhouse. Wasn't it? Every guy loves that movie.
Yeah. My mom was a big Patrick Swayze fan.
Aw.
Yeah, she thought he was hot.
I think of him in the doing the Chippendales.
Oh, with Chris Farley.
With Chris, I mean, that was hysterical.
Dancing Day. Everybody's working for the weekend.
Yep.
And Farley takes his shirt off. You know, you talk about missing somebody, somebody that we lost way too early. Yeah. Chris Farley leaving in, what, 1997?
Sad.
Although he went out on top, though. He went out with a great, great 36-hour stretch. That's how I plan on going out personally.
You stop it.
All right. Let's find out what's on the cut sheet, part due.
What's on the cut sheet,
part due?
Oh, yeah, cut sheet part due. If you thought we were done with the big guy, Kamala, and all of the shenanigans and jokes and one-liners that ensued last night, you were sadly mistaken. And the writing is on the wall when the money starts to dry up, folks. Let's go to clip 18. This is from a report out of CBS Chicago that says a fundraiser for Joe Biden during the upcoming DNC has been canceled. Clip 18, courtesy of CBS Chicago.
First to that breaking news, new concerns for President Joe Biden. CNN is reporting that a big money fundraiser scheduled for Chicago next month will not take place.
Let's get to our Charlie DeMar. He's live in the loop with more on this. Charlie?
And Jim and Marie, good afternoon. Some of the richest were set to open up their wallets to support President Joe Biden and his quest for re-election and another 4 years in office. But sources telling CNN that a fundraising lunch for wealthy Chicago Dems is off. The would-be host pulled the plug as Biden campaign questions continue to swirl. Now, the fundraiser would have coincided with the Democratic National Convention in mid-August. That, of course, is being held at the United Center. Governor Pritzker, a wealthy Democrat himself, talked about the cancellation at an unrelated event just a short time ago.
I think everything's fluid right now, and I honestly think that the president's doing a fine job of raising money. You've seen all the money that they've raised online for the Biden-Harris campaign. I know of fundraisers that are ongoing, so any rumor that you may have heard about something like that, I think, is overblown.
George Clooney said that...
And also at this event with the governor, Mayor Brandon Johnson, he took part in a call with President Biden and other Democratic mayors from across the country last night, and he remains 100% behind Biden.
Well, what I've said was we're with him, right? There's only one person in this country who has ever defeated Donald Trump.
And the growing list of prominent Democrats to call on the president to step down now includes Hollywood superstar George Clooney, seen here with Biden at a White House reception in 2022. Now, Clooney wrote a guest essay for the New York Times titled, "I Love Joe Biden, but we need a new nominee." Clooney goes on to detail his concerns about Biden's age, saying the Democrats cannot, quote, win in November with this president. Now, Clooney joins a growing list of Hollywood and Democrats, high-ranking Democrats, calling for the president to step aside and not run for a re-election bid come November. But Joe Biden staying steadfast in his quest for the White House, saying that he is the guy for the job. We are live in the loop. I'm Charlie DeMar, CBS 2 News. Jim and Marie.
Charlie, thank you.
Yes, Charlie, thank you very much. You know, I always say follow the money. The money will answer all the questions. And we saw this, Sean, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, all the reports coming out of Silicon Valley that all the bazillionaires now more than ever are accepting and embracing Donald Trump. They kind of tiptoed around it in 2020. They wanted no part of it in 2016. You have fundraisers being canceled, and then you have fundraisers that still go on. And 2 weeks later, it's like, you know what? That 14 or 28 million we just raised, you know what? Joe's not going to be the guy. We'll just slide that cash over to Kamala. I think if you asked Brandon Johnson off the record, would he ride with Biden or would he support Kamala Harris taking over? There's no question he would take Kamala Harris.
He would definitely take Kamala Harris because he would look at it and say, you know, much like Jet fans look at Zach Wilson when he was the quarterback saying, well, it can't get worse, right? It doesn't matter who it is. It can't get any worse. It could be the guy sitting in section 227, you know, that's 17 beers in. It can't get any worse, right? It's very possible that Kamala Harris may not be worse, but she's probably not going to be better. But the fundraising and following the money is always a great indicator to find out, you know, where somebody stands within their party. And you're seeing reports. I think NBC a couple of days ago said that they've taken a major hit in fundraising. Look, even last night, if you were watching Joe Biden and you thought it went well, were you inspired by what you saw? Are there people who watched the big boy press conference last night, the oh boy press conference, as Nick said? You know, were there people who watched that who said, all right, you know what? I'm sold. I'm writing my check now. I mean, I really don't think so. And that's the most important indicator now is the money. That's one of the most important things to look at, because if the Biden campaign starts to struggle with raising money, if they start to burn through cash, it's going to be really hard for the Biden campaign to run that gaslighting operation. Now, the media will cover for them, but the ads and the carpet bombing of TV stations, you know, 2 months ahead of the election, it's not going to be as widespread as they would have hoped, because people just aren't inspired to donate to them. And that's going to be a problem.
All right, let's get to the vice president, not Donald Trump, the real vice president for now, Kamala Harris. I believe I predicted this was going to happen. Didn't I say that the moment Kamala Harris comes into the spotlight, if you question the selection, if you question her credentials, the left will smear you as sexist and racist? I believe I said that multiple times this week on the show, and it comes to fruition. Clip number 20, boys. This is Jen Psaki on Inside with Jen Psaki on MSNBC saying exactly what I forecasted. How dare you question Kamala Harris? Clip 20. Listen and watch this.
Kamala Harris, the vice president, I'm going to call her vice president now because I keep calling her. She is like, in my view, an undervalued talent. She's a very fierce communicator. She's very strong, especially on one of the core issues that made the election maybe won or lost on, which is abortion rights. This is why I think when she did a couple of interviews after the debate, I was sitting on the set with a bunch of other MSNBC anchors, and we were like, everybody was like, that was great. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what she's doing out in the country, and nobody is really tracking it. It's just, that's who she is. But there is a character out there. It's almost like public opinion hasn't caught up with what she is doing out there. And also, we live in a country that is sexist and racist. So like, there is that. Not everybody at all, but there is a level of it that does impact elections.
I told you. There you go.
There it is.
There's the dented beetle right there. Unbelievable. And actually, I take that back. It's not unbelievable. It's completely predictable. And
yep.
So she's an undervalued asset and a fierce communicator. Let me go to my soundboard here. Here's the fierce communicator, Kamala Harris.
I love electric school buses. I went to school on a school bus.
I love Venn diagrams.
There's your fierce communicator, folks. Unburdened by what has been. I just can't take it anymore.
She loves Venn diagrams. They're so nice.
Jeez.
Venn diagrams. I wonder what she would tell you she likes the most about the Venn diagram. Is it the stuff in the middle? Is it the stuff on the left or the right? What is it? If I ever get the chance to ask Kamala Harris a question, I'd say, listen, Madam Vice President, or I don't know if you go by Trump now, not sure. What is it that you love most about the Venn diagram. This is something that America needs to know. We'll see what she says.
In a administration full of terrible communicators, she's right up there. If we were to sit here and rank who is the worst public speaker in this administration, I mean, you're going to have your pick. I mean, you've got the Binder, you've got Kamala, you've got Joe, all bad communicators for different reasons. I would probably argue that John Kirby is the best speaker of the bunch, which is why he handles the heavy lifting that they don't want to put on the Binder's plate.
He's the real big boy.
He's the biggest boy in a room full of infants and children, to be completely honest. Yeah. So she's a fierce communicator. By the way, that was Jen Psaki doing a TV appearance from what looked like to be a closet or her bedroom. another person working virtually.
Almighty. I thought Democrats were supposed to be hopeful about America.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. That this is a great country.
Yep.
But now she's saying, oh, no, it's a racist, sexist country.
Get ready. That's the next wave of bullet points coming out she becomes the nominee. All right, we'll take a quick break. That'll do it for Cut Sheet Part 2. Pete Cherokee's got the crab fries. We'll talk to him about National Crab Fry Day on the other side. And then we'll find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show and Today in Music History. Back after this.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Pete Cherokee, Chickies and Pete's, is with us here in studio for National Crab Fries Day, which Pete was just telling me during the break as I'm drooling out of my mouth because I've got crab fries coming out my face here, that now moving forward, it will always be on a Friday as we move forward.
Which makes sense. They maybe should have done that from the beginning. It's Friday, National French Friday, but now it's National Crab Fry Day, which we're very happy to participate in every year. And we make it, you know, the $1 crab fries.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
In any Chickie and Pete's that participating Chickie and Pete's was, you know, not stadiums or so on. Go to Chickie and Pete's, pay $1, crab fries, $5 pitchers, Miller Lite. And what does it have? What happens with that money? All of that money goes to the Police Survivors Fund.
Yes.
So the officers who have fallen in action or have been injured, it helps their families, the kids go to school, so on and so forth. This is the 11th year that we've been doing it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And we've raised over $200,000.
So remarkable.
Last year we did 20,000 just fries.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did that many fries every day, it would have been like almost 8 million pounds of fries.
And if I ate these every day, I would be 8 million pounds.
You'd be 8 million pounds.
Don, have you gotten any of those fries? Because if you don't, I'm going to gobble them all up before you get off at noon.
No, I can, you know, I can smell them.
It's
like
amazing.
That Morgan Freeman bit, I can smell crab fries.
Uh-huh.
They smell so good.
You might be 800 pounds, but you'd be smiling.
Yes, I would.
There you go.
Yes, I would. And you got a lot of great locations where people can take advantage today. We got Audubon. We got Bordentown, New Jersey, Drexel Hill, all the way down to Egg Harbor, Glassboro, Marlton.
In fact, even this year we included Kansas City because we're doing it for the police officers out in Kansas City. The FOP Survivor Fund. We opened up in Kansas City about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Andy's been a fan of Chickie and Pete's for a long time, Andy Reid. So it's good for us.
He loves it.
He loves the cheese. He loves the cheese. And we love him.
Yeah.
And it smells so good. It's like when you go on the Ocean City Boardwalk, because you're on the boardwalk.
Oh, yeah.
You just get, it just, smells.
Yeah. We were saying amazing. That in the elevator, that the smell of the crab fries is so much different than a French fry.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they really shouldn't smell. The fact that they do is amazing. But because it permeates the whole air where they're at.
You like this, Pete? This is what we call product placement here on television. I just positioned that little thing
Thank you, YouTube.
There you go. YouTube's loving it. I'm making them salivate. So you talk about the money raised over $200,000, 11 years. Did you ever, obviously what you have created is just this big juggernaut dynasty monstrosity. But did you ever envision it getting to be where it is with National Crab Fries Day and what you're doing for the Fraternal Order of Police?
No. Well, the year they came out with National French Fry Day was the reason we jumped on it.
Right.
Today, you know, why should it be French fries in Philadelphia? They eat crab fries. And, but to think that it could grow this large, it's great to have that kind of power where you can say, I'm going to charge dollar for fries that are usually a lot more money than that. I'm going to charge a dollar. You could get as many orders as you want. Eat in, take out. You can come. I mean, kids get out of like minivans, the whole group of kids, and they run into Chickie and Pete's.
Yeah, they're Dawn's sons.
I know, right?
Right. I know Dawn's son.
You do, because we, PC, you know, we got Penn Charter, the big rivalry with Germantown, right?
Right. GA, PCGA day, yeah.
And they, you know, they bring you the big truck, the food truck. It's just so awesome. You know, you're living the dream.
I am very fortunate. I have a great team around me that helps me, that makes me look good. I really don't look good, but they make me look good, and I appreciate them.
Well, the fact that you actually look as physically fit as you do, considering these are not necessarily the most diet-friendly items you should be eating.
Obviously, they were.
If I were you, I'd be as big as Chris Christie, no pun intended.
No. I got to tell you, I eat them every day.
It's unbelievable.
I eat them every single day. Now, do I have two buckets a day? No.
Yeah.
But every day, I eat Kraft fries.
Right. Moderation, the key to life, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So today, you get one order, $1. You can order 10 orders if you want.
Yep.
You can order 20, 30. I don't care. Because all the money goes to a great worthy cause.
And also coming up at 10:30 today, St. Christopher's Hospital for Children, Police Academy of Philadelphia at noon. So, I mean, you're hitting on so many different elements that are key to people's heart.
Right. We'll go to the precincts and St. Chris Hospital. We'll bring a truck, the crab fry truck, there and the van, and we'll make the crab fries right on location and feed the officers at their precincts.
Yeah. If you ever need me to drive the truck, I can do that because I just drove a 26-foot U-Haul from Nashville to Pennsylvania, so I can handle the crab fry truck.
It's hard keeping your both hands on the wheel with the fries in there.
Yeah.
With the fries in there. You always want to reach back like I see you doing here.
Right.
You know, just like it's hard to do a radio show with crab fries in your face.
Right. Well, you just have your co-host and your guest talk while the host eats. Yeah.
Well, I know President Trump loves Chickies and Pete's crab fries, right, Sean?
Yeah. Well, every nobody president that ever was elected likes crab fries.
Yeah, nobody has ever eaten as many crab fries as me except Chris Christie. That much I can tell you. He's a great guy. And he's a big guy. And you know what happened one time? It happened with a tomato. I have to tell you this. Somebody threw a crab fry at Chris Christie. They called him a fat pig. They threw a fry. And it got stuck in his orbit. It was going around and around. He finally grabbed it and he ate it. He doesn't have anything to waste. I can tell you that. That much I can tell you.
Thank you so much. Pete, it's great to see you.
Great
stuff. I know you got to get down to the sports station. You're doing the car wash tour today. Best of luck. And this might be the best order I've ever had. This is phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you. And please, everyone, get out there today if you can. Support the FOP, Survivors Fund. Buy the crab fry. Support your belly. And don't forget a pitcher of Miller Lite beer for $5.
$5. There you go.
And all that goes to the Survivors Fund, too. Thank you.
You're losing money with my kids for a bucket, right?
So that's fine. As long as it goes to the right place.
Dawn's boys are eating her and Larry out of the house. They need more.
We'll be at Chickies and Pete's.
They'll be driving a minivan from the neighborhood.
Great to see you. Thank you.
Same here. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll come back, wrap it up, find out what's on tap for the Dawn Show and what happened today in music history next as we put a bow on a Friday show of Kale and Company.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
As we put a bow on another week, it's going to be a great weekend. Hopefully all of you have something nice lined up if we can avoid some of these disgusting big storms that are coming our way. But coming up at the top of the hour, it's Storm Stensland. What do we have lined up today, Dawn?
Oh, yeah.
Not stormy.
No.
Hurricane Dawn is better.
Hurricane Dawn, yes. We don't like stormy these days.
Yeah, so we'll have Neil Young from Chester County, local teacher, and decided that we need an educator. We need a teacher in Congress. I want you to meet him. I want you to hear from an insider what is going on in our local schools. It's explosive stuff. So you've got, and he's just an incredible candidate, and his energy, when you hear him, I'm telling you, you're going to love him. So Neil Young. We'll talk about all the Trump news, all the local news. I want to start a campaign, and I'm an idiot for not saying this before. Sean Farish, why aren't you going to the RNC? You should be on that stage.
Yeah, you and Scott Pressler together.
You know what? There were some opportunities to go. There's been so much traveling that we've been doing lately. So much going on. A lot of good stuff. All good stuff, as a matter of fact. I would love to go to Milwaukee. I'd love to be a part of the RNC, but I'm not going to be there. But we'll be having fun, and there's some stuff remotely that I'll be doing, and it'll be a good time. But it would have been fun to go. I know a lot of people who are going to be there. It sounds like it's going to be an amazing convention, and hopefully we have good energy coming out of that. We could ride that momentum into August. We'll watch and compare and contrast that with what the DNC looks like, which should be, interesting. And I guess we'll just leave it at interesting. And
could be virtual. September,
second debate. Yeah. Yep. They're going to virtually nominate him because they have to meet Ohio's ballot deadline.
Sherelle Parker's not happy about that.
No. And then we go to, September, second debate. We're in election season and on to November 5th, full court press. Let's go.
Yeah, there was tweets coming in a couple of days ago asking if we were going, and I said no, Zioli's going, because morning shows going to the convention, it's a lot like Radio Row for the Super Bowl. We're on so early that there's just nobody around. Mm-hmm. So, logistically and even content and programming-wise, it's pointless because we can't get those people to show up bright and early. Like, the action doesn't get going until the middle of the morning. So, mm-hmm. A midday show makes sense. Certainly, afternoon drive makes sense. Yep. But being out there in the morning, it's like going to a bar and doing a broadcast from a bar and restaurant that doesn't open till noon.
Yeah. Why is you only get Jet fans in there. Yeah. You only get Jet fans in there who drink early. You have the... Yeah. Also, you're Philly station, right? PhD. So you're sent Eastern time, Milwaukee Central time. Mm-hmm. So 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. out there in Milwaukee.
We start at 6 a.m.
There you go. Right. Greg's upset. You hear him. He started 6.
Yeah. We don't.
Nobody's
start at 5.
Awake out there in Milwaukee. Yeah,
that's right.
So
I told everybody around here on day one, they'll never get the idea to move us back to 5:30 a.m. start time like the sports station used to. Because I'm out on that.
And we used to do that, too. Oh,
no way.
Uh huh. Yeah. Could happen.
As Joe Biden would say,
not going to be on my watch.
Not on my watch. All right, let's wrap it up with what happened today in music history.
What happened on this day in music history? Music history. On Kale & Company.
Today, Friday, July 12th, we celebrate the birthday of Eric Adams from Man of War, who's now 72. And heavenly birthday shout-outs for Philip Kramer from Iron Butterfly, Eric Carr from Kiss, and Christine McVie from, of course, Fleetwood Mac. Singles include California Girls by the Beach Boys in 65, Free Ride by Edgar Winter in 73, and Girls on Film by Duran Duran in 81. And by the way, they're coming to Allentown in October. Tickets on sale today. Mm. Albums include The Last Temptation by Alice Cooper in 94 and Rocket Science by Helix in 2016. Also in 86, Simply Red was atop the singles chart with Holding Back the Years. In 71, radio stations start running the I Like to Buy the World a Coke commercial. In 79, it was Disco Demolition Night at Comiskey Park. That obviously didn't go so well. In 54, Elvis signed his first recording contract. But lastly, on this day in 62, the Rolling Stones made their live debut at London's Marquee Jazz Club. Yes, 62 years ago, the greatest rock and roll band of all time made their live debut. For Kale & Company, I'm Phil Lundquist.
Great work, Philip. Great work, Henry. And a special thanks to Sean Farish for stepping in the last 2 weeks as Stocker decided to take 7 months straight off. And he'll be back on Monday. But, dude, it was a blast. You're hilarious. And we will chat again next Friday for our normal weekly spot.
Oh, yeah. So much fun the last 2 weeks. I've always wanted to do radio, right? It's been a thing. I went to school for it. So a dream come true is putting it lightly. You guys are great. The team is great. This has been so much fun, and I can't wait to be back with you guys next Friday.
All right, buddy. Well, you're the amazing. Audience loves you, and you're hilarious, and you're great at what you do, so keep it up. Stay tuned. The Dawn Show is next. Stocker is back on Monday.
Will that make you happy, Fred? Will it?
No, Fred will be pissed. But until then, everybody have a great rest of your Friday. Dawn is next. We'll talk to you Monday morning at 6.
Good night, everybody.
Start your day with Kale & Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.